Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, September 11th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
How are you this fine Friday?
I'm pretty good.
Great.
Compared to Thursdays, Wednesdays, Tuesdays, and Mondays, Friday is okay.
Every day is a good day,
uh-huh.
And some might be better than others.
Some are better than others. That's right.
And gold today, it actually had a nice little comeback. Not, you know, still didn't do anything major, but we're down 330 off the lows of the day at 1108.60. Silver is down 9 cents today at 1472. Platinum was down 11 at 974. Palladium was up 4. At $599. The USDX today is trading lower, 0.35, at 95.18. Crude oil, 1.13, at 44.79. In the paper markets today, it's really a quiet week this week. You had the Dow up 100 points at 16,432. The NASDAQ was up 26 points at 48.22. S&P up 8, 1961. 10-year yield down 0.04, 2.18. The euro, 0.50, of course, was going to be stronger at 113. And, you know, Asian markets and European markets, you know, pretty blah for the day, for Friday. Going into the Shemitah for tomorrow, but kind of quiet around the world, although I did talk to you earlier today, and I thought it was kind of interesting, and not sure how anyone wants to view this, but there was a storm. Headlines. 65 dead after a crane collapsed in Mecca at the mosque.
Hit by lightning.
It was hit by lightning. And of course, they've always sort of had problems there. I didn't realize that, and this is a major part of the, I was reading a little bit about it, you know, where this is a major, I don't know what you want to call it, time of the year for this particular mosque. It's people come from all over, and but they've had bombings, they've had other, you know, they've always had problems here. Diseases, all kinds of things. So it doesn't seem to be a place of peace.
Well, every religion promises peace. But it is, it's a little strange how they frequently don't deliver on that promise. You know, we are all sometimes pushed by our faith to take stands that are a little bit obsessive, compulsive, fanatical. And every religion this happens, all of them, under certain circumstances. And what can I say? The religion of peace is like the rest of them, and more so, really, because they celebrate a certain amount of violence in imposing their faith on others.
That was my. But also, you have a sandstorm that's plaguing Israel. Is worse than country's history. Highest concentration of dust particles in air since creation of the state in 1948. So it's kind of, they've been blanketed with a very thick brown dust in recent days, and it's the worst that they've ever had. And looking at a picture of it, you can barely see across the street with this. So it's kind of interesting when you see these types of...
You look at these events and you wonder, is this another random act of nature, or is this a sign in the sense that the blood moons are a sign, or believed to be a sign?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Guess all of us talking to ourselves, and we wonder. We find out about the blood moons here, really. I think we've had the last one. Is that true?
No, we have another one coming.
We have one more coming?
Yes.
All right. My understanding is the Shemitah year ends tomorrow. And if that's correct, then the predictions for the Shemitah, we'll watch and see, but we might see something happen next week or whatever, but it doesn't look like it's working out exactly. It's not over. Things can happen. But this cause for concern. When people come up and they promote a certain idea as if they are promoting prophecy, as if they are speaking for God. That's a strange thing, because if it doesn't work out as they predict and promote, they are discredited to some degree, but so is God. People are saying, what's God doing here? He's not really paying any attention. He didn't do anything on the Shemitah. He didn't do anything, and remains to be seen, but he didn't do anything with the four blood moons. You go through all of that, and for a while there, it raises your sense of spirituality as you are waiting, as the deadline approaches. But if that deadline, you reach the deadline, you go past the deadline, nothing happens, that's not the sort of thing that strengthens people's faith. And I don't know what to do about it. You can't tell someone not to speak out in what they believe to be prophecy, because they might be right. But you got to pay attention yourself and see. You have to have a certain amount of wariness. It's a little bit of that business, by their fruits ye shall know them. Are we dealing with prophets, or are we dealing with people that are selling books? You'll find out. And you have to wait to some degree. You can't just climb on the bandwagon and say, oh, yeah, this is definitely going to happen. Maybe you wait until the fruits show up and we find out if this is real or not real, and then you make a decision. But we get on the bandwagon early on, and I don't know that that's necessarily good for us.
Well, it was a little bit of a strange week, Al, coming back from the Labor Day weekend. Most, children are back in school and so forth. I guess there's still some on vacation and so forth. But it seems like it was just a relatively quiet week in a strange way. I mean, we come off of August and so much happening in July and August, and then all of a sudden it's just like calm. It's bizarre. I mean, the biggest headlines are, you're talking about the elections, you're talking about the football game last night, you're not the elections last night, but you're talking about the elections, you're talking about the football game last night, it's just really kind of,
It is, you know, it's a good observation because everything seemed to be going faster and faster and faster and accelerating more and more and more coming at us. And it really does seem, for the moment at least, things have kind of slowed down. We're not really afraid that the market is going to fall 1,000 points on Monday. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but we're not afraid of it right this minute. It doesn't seem likely. We seem to have weathered that particular storm with the Dow Jones. And things do seem to have calmed down a little bit, but we'll see.
This week,
Are we just in the eye of the storm right now, Melody, or has the storm passed us by?
Well, sure. I think we're just, everybody's on hold waiting to see what the Federal Reserve is going to do next week. I don't think they want to rock the boat prior to, but it doesn't change anything. Our problems are still there. They continue to worsen. I think we'll see some more numbers into the debt as we move into October and so forth. So, I think things are just as severe, but it's just a very quiet. It feels quiet at this point in time.
Yeah,
it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything.
Well, it changes people's sentiment in the sense where some people are going to be, it's conducive to complacency.
It frightens me more than anything. I don't like the
cold. A lot of people say, relax, chill out, we can get on with our lives now.
Because I think what's
coming.
And
I don't know that we can. I think there's still, whatever we thought was coming is still coming.
Right, exactly.
But it does not necessarily appear that it'll come in September. We'll watch. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But for the moment.
It is only September 11th, so,
yep.
And of course, mainstream media was certainly all, all sorts of memorials today for 9/11 and so forth, and, so that was stole any other news and feelings and so forth, but with that happening today, what's interesting, there's in Arizona, there's some sort of a, someone is shooting at vehicles on one of their highways.
Yeah.
I think it's Highway 10, I believe. And I guess there's been there's a sniper, and I guess there's been about 11 vehicles that have been attacked since, I think just about, 10 days ago? It's almost like one a day. And no one has been killed. I believe there was like a 13-year-old little girl that was injured. But luckily that's the only one that has been injured, so bizarre.
Do they think this sniper is in a vehicle, or do they think he's up on the side of the road someplace, hiding behind a tree?
I'm not sure where they believe he is. There's been 11 confirmed shootings since August 29th along I-10, and they don't really say much about the position that this person might be in.
Mm-hmm. I got a story from Europe that's kind of interesting. It's not important, but it's just kind of interesting, a little bit amusing. This is from Daily Cause. And it says the headline is, for $300, $380 a month, this 23-year-old lives on trains instead of renting. A young German woman, Leonie Mueller, lives on trains, not a specific train, just any train she decides to get on when it's time for her to go to bed. She's a German college student. She gave up her apartment in the spring. She instantly decided she didn't want to live there anymore. Then she realized actually she didn't want to live anywhere anymore. And she just abandoned, she gave up her apartment. And what she does now is when it gets time for her to go to sleep at night, she bought one of these vouchers. For $380, you can ride the trains all you want in Germany, right? You have 24/7 access to the trains. And so when it gets late in the day and it's time for her to go to sleep, she gets on the train, and again, apparently she has a little, I don't know if she has a private car or not. I don't think she has a private car, but she gets on the train and rides the train and sleeps on the train and then gets off in the morning and sees her boyfriend who lives in one part of Germany, and she goes to school in another part of Germany, and she doesn't have to pay any rent. So she thinks this is a pretty clever deal, and I think it's an interesting deal. I don't know if you can get on trains. Well, I don't know if we have any sort of package where you can ride trains for $380 for a month.
No, our train system isn't quite like what they have in Europe, but we should. We should have that.
Interesting. Then we could all be sleeping on the trains at night.
There you go. We do have Rob West joining us here in the second and third segment of the program today. We'll be adding him to the program here in just a few minutes. He's going to give us an update on what he's been working on, and also he has some information that he wants to share about banks. So we'll look forward to having Rob West joining us this afternoon. We talked earlier this week, Al, about Kim Davis being released from the prison.
Yep.
Oath Keepers vow to intercede if the U.S. Marshals try to take Kim Davis into custody again.
Yep, another article from the Daily Kos. The Oath Keepers organization, for those of you who don't know, Oath Keepers is an organization, veterans, as much as probably more so than anything else. And the idea behind them is that people have taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution when they entered into the military. And the Oath Keepers are reminding people, you took that oath, and that oath is still in effect even though you may no longer be in the military. And you still have an obligation to support and defend the Constitution, and they're encouraging people to take that obligation seriously and, if necessary, stand up in an armed situation to resist what they perceive as government oppression and tyranny. All right? So here's Kim Davis, of course. She is the clerk in Kentucky who had refused to give wedding licenses to homosexual couples. And a judge sentenced her to 6 days or whatever turned into a week, something like that. A federal judge put her in prison for a week because she refused his order to issue those licenses. And she's become something of a cause celebre. And here's Oath Keepers. They are saying, according to this article, trying to one-up the Westboro Baptist Church in the Department of Crazy Attention Seeking. Now, I don't agree with the crazy attention seeking. This is the perspective of this newspaper, the Daily Kos. But in a statement and recorded phone call featuring the Oath Keepers founder, Stuart Rhodes, Jackson County, Kentucky Sheriff Denny Payman, Missouri Oath Keeper John Kerriman, and West Virginia Oath Keeper Ellen Loretti outlined their plan to head to Kentucky to provide round-the-clock protection for Kim Davis to ensure federal marshals are not able to take her into custody again if U.S. District Judge David Bunning orders her to be held again on contempt of court charges. The group had previously planned to protest in front of David Bunning's home. I got to give these guys credit for nerve. But you're going to start protesting in front of a federal judge's home. Not necessarily, that's an interesting choice. And the idea that they are going to provide round-the-clock protection for Kim Davis against federal marshals. I mean, the Oath Keepers have done a lot of interesting things, but this is evidence. You know, we're talking about things becoming calm. Well, it's not calm for these guys. This is serious stuff. And it's something that's kind of growing in this country where we have an impulse to resist government by supporting Donald Trump or maybe supporting Oath Keepers. But people there's still, a certain amount of wariness, antagonism, and it does not bode well for the future. This is kind of consistent with the VIX index, the fear index, misery index. And it's showing, look, there's pressure here, and this tea kettle is boiling. You know, it's generating some steam, and somebody better take the lid off or it's going to boil over. We're going to take a break right now, unless you've got something you want to add, Melody.
Well, it's beyond time, so go ahead. Let's go to break.
All right, here we go. We're on Financial Survival, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I guess that means I'm going to have to introduce this segment. Is that right, Melody?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
I thought I was going to be able to, avoid making all the introductions, the rest of it. But been trapped again. All right, here I am whitewashing the fence. Just call me Huckleberry, because I'm back whitewashing the fence again. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom, and our guest is Rob West. Rob's been on the program a number of times in the past. He is a senior financial strategist at RME Advisors. He's associated with the Financial Preservation Network, and he has primarily some insights into how you may be able to protect yourself against mortgage enforcement, and we'll get to that, but it may be that Rob also has some information on our current economic and political system that he thinks you should hear. Hello, Rob. How are you doing?
Hello, Al. Hello, Melody.
Hi, Rob.
What you got for us today?
Oh, wow. There's so much going on now that we're in September, and as you know, I did many years as a certified financial planner, and through that training and all, it's easier for me to put together a big picture where a lot of people are just not that familiar with putting the puzzle together, you know. And we found some very interesting things since we talked a few weeks ago about the banking system and the corruption thereof. So if you would like me to just give you a brief rundown on this 9/11/01 anniversary, I'd be happy to do that.
Well, let's do it. What have the banks been doing to us now?
Well, to separate it around, we always talk about the banks. And if we look at the money system itself, it's comprised of these major banks. Therein lies the true story of what's been going on, especially since August of 1971, when the United States went off the gold standard. And I know, Al and Melody, you and I have talked about this before, but to put it in layman's terms, if someone is shopping for a loan for a property, let's say, they really don't think that they're shopping for a loan. They're really shopping for a legitimate financial instrument to use in connection with purchasing a property. And when I got investigating this LIBOR interest rate fraud, it came to pass that what has happened, when money is introduced into the system worldwide, it's introduced in terms of a loan. And the loan is based on this London Interbank Offered Rate, which is called LIBOR. And so that's how the whole system has been made up and has been operating. But through court cases and things that I've researched that I'm compiling in my book, I found that that rate has been manipulated since 1991. So you don't know if you're paying the correct amount or a higher amount or a lower amount in an interest rate. And when you look at the United States Criminal Code under Title 18, you'll read various things there under Section 3771, which, in a nutshell, makes everyone that has exposure to this LIBOR fraud, whether it's from a mortgage, credit card, car loan, student loan, if it's been tainted by this LIBOR fraud under that section of the criminal code, when the money gets passed over here, it becomes a counterfeit instrument. It's not enforceable. It shouldn't have been allowed to exist in the first place. So when Sherry and I and Frank Carlos...
Let's be clear about this. Let me make sure that I understand what you're... Rob, let me make sure that I understand what you're saying. You're saying that under Title 18, Section 3771, if there is a fraudulent interest rate, whatever for whatever reason that the interest, there is a fraudulent interest rate when we borrow money and we agree to pay a loan, the loan document itself is deemed to be counterfeit and unenforceable?
Correct. There's a term called in admissio, which means from the beginning it should have been void. From the beginning it's in admissio. And it really shouldn't have been on the closing table. So the banker's game is to produce as much money, which you have no doubt have seen in the last decade with all the subprime lending, particularly no-doc loans and all that for homes, that those loans, those financial instruments, should not have even been here. And the banks are paying foreclosure firms to stick up a front that, yeah, you missed your payments, therefore you're going to lose your house. That's just the rules. Well, let's get out of the civil side of looking at this and look at the criminal. And it's very plain in that section of the criminal code, Title 18, that there's been a crime committed, and frankly, whoever took out that loan is a financial crime victim. And a financial crime victim needs to be protected by the courts. It's just the same thing as if I had a knife wound in the back and I went to the sheriff's office. It's very obvious there was a crime committed. But in the financial crime arena, the banks have so much money that they're throwing all kinds of roadblocks in your way. And quite frankly, the legal and judicial system, they have no understanding of this. So we've been working successfully to move people through this. And depending on the situation, for instance, on the ranch that we had here in Colorado, had a $96,000 mortgage expunged 4 months ago. Expunge means it went away. They sent me a 1099-C, and I contacted them about that. And they sent me another letter that said that they just didn't want to talk to me about it anymore. And it was, the loan was so late because I opted to not make payments on it to force my point. And they just made it go away. And they don't want to talk about it anymore because the other part of my complaint is getting all my money back plus punitive damages.
Plus so, punitive damages of what?
Well, the original loan came out at probably 117 or 127. And so just because of the fraud on that 117, three times that amount comes out as a punitive damage. So we're talking about an extra $300,000 or $400,000 in that ballpark plus.
Now you're not talking. I didn't necessarily clearly hear how large your original mortgage was, but just for the sake of argument, let's assume it was $120,000. You've had that mortgage and been making payments on it for a number of years. If you'd paid on that mortgage for say 10 years, are you able to go back and recollect three times what you paid in on that mortgage over the past 10 years?
Well, the simple math would be three times the 120 plus all the money back plus all the interest compounded the way they charged it to me. So, and there could be other things involved in the damages depending on a person's situation, if they were evicted, if they had bad health, if they were senior citizens, and that would be elder abuse. There's a lot of things that Carlos Cato and his fraud group tabulate to see what might be a remedy under the law here. So each case is separate and individual, and I can't say that everyone would have the success that I've had. But one of the problems we've run into, particularly here in Colorado, is the enforcement of the law. I've been to county sheriffs, FBI, Department of Justice on other matters here in Colorado, and I get to run around on it's not my responsibility or whatever. And now in my book it says there are 6 criminal convictions, now there's over 10 international criminal convictions by the FBI investigation and the Department of Justice prosecution. And so the country got a huge amount of money, and based on that win, the FDIC, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, and others, including the city of Baltimore, they all have damages because of that manipulation, too, and they've sued using that win by the Department of Justice to get billions in restitution back to them. Now, we all know what retail is, and we know what wholesale is. And so Fannie Mae, which is a government-sponsored entity, had money come back to them. They would be the wholesaler to get you the money for your loan, and you'd be on the retail side. But they never called to tell you that you had a bad product. And so I really believe that there's been so much going on with this out-of-control money system that we're very close to an implosion of a multiple country problem, because you've seen what China's been doing, you've seen how the stock market's been dropping, and I've listened to you and Melody and your emphasis on gold and silver, and believe me, the people that are pulling the strings are manipulating the price of gold and silver to the low point because they're buying it up. But it's just so simple to see. So it's just very frustrating. But
the smart people are buying it up, and the corrupt people are buying it up. All right, it's kind of a contest between the smart and the corrupt. Some people are smart enough to see the price is so low it's a giveaway, and some people are so corrupt they understand that big trouble is coming, and they're going to try to protect themselves and allow other people to be injured. But they're gathering as much gold as they can. But who is ultimately going to be sued? Who is ultimately holding the bag for this LIBOR fraud and the possibility of recovering the money you've invested in your mortgage? I mean, I can understand that if I had a mortgage right now, I have an opportunity perhaps to sue the bank that issued the mortgage. But this sounds like a system that's going to go, maybe there's people behind the bank and people behind that. Is there an ultimate defendant who is liable for these trillions, perhaps trillions of dollars of losses? And if so, who is that ultimate defendant? And does he or it, do they have enough money to pay off all of these potential damages?
Well, if we think the banking system is not a question of having enough money no matter who pays, because they press a button and create it anyway. So that adds to the massive money supply, which is the wrong thing to do. But all of these transactions, what FDIC and the other banks have done was going after the major components of the LIBOR feeding system, like Barclays and Credit Suisse and Royal Bank of Scotland and even Morgan Chase and Citigroup. It might be interesting to note that these entities I just mentioned, because they have a criminal conviction, there's another part of the United States law that says the government cannot do business with convicted criminals for 10 years. That's one of the reasons, and because of mistrust, that a county there in California, I can't think of the name of it right now, but in April, they came out and announced that they're not going to do business with five major banks, particularly with their pension fund management, because they can't afford to trust a convicted criminal, and they've lost complete confidence in them. So,
what is the law, if you remember, that restricts the government from doing business with convicted criminals?
It's poking my head there somewhere, but I can't recall it right now.
Okay.
And it's very easy to Google. And but keep in mind, we all know this. What is all the media in the United States is controlled by like 3 to 5 companies, you know, so we're being fed misinformation on purpose. And the banking system that's so big, which the banking system, by the way, represents the corporate United States, that was the second corporate United States put into place, and the first corporate United States is still there. It was never wrapped up, but it got in financial trouble. And when the colonies started and the movement went west, the European money said, hey, these guys just might make it, so we need to go over to America and get control of their banking system so that we can lend them money and make things happen. And the big turnkey date was 24th of December in 1913. And that's explained very well in the book called The Creature from Jekyll Island. So, if you put on your big thinking cap, you can see the chronology of what's happening. And so the next few months and the next few years, you can see how it has to manifest itself. And the system will be purged. And those who are not knowing are going to be very disadvantaged. Those few who understand and can research or read anything that I believe is legit, I think they can do very, very well.
Let's break here on that point, Rob, and we will be back in a moment with Rob West here on Financial Survival. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adeske with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival with our guest, Rob West. He's the Senior Financial Strategist at RMA Advisors, and he is associated with some other people who've done some work, legal research, and discovered that it may be that people's mortgages can be deemed legally deemed to be counterfeit and unenforceable financial instruments insofar as they reflect an interest rate that was established by LIBOR since 1991, right? Which would include most of the homes that are out there right now have their mortgages dated from sometime after 1991. If I'm understanding, Rob can correct me if I'm misunderstanding here, but if the interest rate was fraudulent, then Rob says 18 U.S.C. 18 United States Code 3771 declares the notes that are based on that interest rate to be counterfeit and unenforceable, which implies that if Rob's understanding is accurate and his procedures are viable, then it might be that people can have their mortgages expunged as Rob has with his own mortgage for $96,000. Now, am I understanding that roughly correctly, Rob, or have I made a mistake?
No, you're right on. And it's like over the years, so many differences in terminology has moved through the financial system, especially. When you're looking, in our case, for instance, in that loan, we agreed it came out at $120,000. What we were doing was looking for a loan financial product. And we had a real good guy that helped us, you know, move things around. I mean, it's not his fault at all or anything like that. He has no idea of all this, except I chatted with him a little bit. But that particular financial product, we connected up the property as collateral. And under the criminal code, that product should not have existed, but those banks continued to supposedly pass that loan along 5 times. We kept paying whoever they said to pay on something that shouldn't exist. And it's particularly distressing when someone loses their property because of it, which becomes grand theft real estate. And just a few weeks ago, I was down at the FBI office filing another complaint stating that very same thing. So it's not that, it sounds so, it took me over a year to get this around my head when Carlos was talking to me about this stuff. And then I finally really dug into it, and then the curtain went up, and the more I looked, the more things happened. And when you see the big picture of the continental United States and now the United States, what we operate under currently, what has happened over that, it's real easy to understand why we get egghead people put in Congress. Because it's the wrong Congress. The banks are controlling this, and they have since 1913 and forward, and particularly after 1971. So this isn't a conspiracy theory at all. I'm just telling you, this is what I found by my research. So, and I'm happy to go in front of judges or whoever I need to try to educate them and see if what I'm learning and writing about is true. And I've had some very bright people take a look at what I do, and they say, I never thought of it that way, but yeah, look at this. So,
well, I understand. I understand in broad strokes what you're talking about here. I certainly don't grasp all of the details yet, but one of the things about it, if any of the listeners have ever been in a law library, there's no telling how many trees have been chopped down in order to make more books about the law. And the point of this is you can find things in legal documents where all by themselves they don't seem to be that much, but you can connect that particular dot with another dot in another legal document, and you can create relationships and leverage and power and rights that had been previously unexpected. What you're doing here is a creative application of the law, and I believe you're saying this is the legal foundation for, was this Mr. Cato provided the legal foundation, and he's helped you to understand it, and you've gone from there to actually expunge $96,000 mortgage of your own, and there may be damages that you can yet collect on this. Are you going to pursue the damages, or are you going to let it go with $96,000?
No, that's what they're hoping. And, you know, but I hit them with so many things, especially after Carlos's company wordsmithed some things for me in criminal complaints that they just want me to go away. And you mentioned who's going to pay all this. Well, most of these transactions, frankly, whoever is involved in the criminal string of problems will be tapped, but a lot of these things they're insured. So, you know, the financial
the insurance companies might get stuck with the bill.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, a lot of people don't know, but if you've ever tried to work with a loan modification some years ago, they would say, well, you're not late, so we can't help you. And some number of people say, okay, we'll go late 90 days. And then they put him in the foreclosure, and he said, well, you guys told us to go late 90 days. Well, the reason they did that is after 90 days, they can collect an insurance claim on that loan that went bad.
Uh-huh.
And then they still come after your property, you know.
So even that is a fraud. They were committing a fraud when they said wait 90 days. They were giving you information that was contrary to your best interest.
Yes, and keep in mind, going clear back to the beginning, when we're finding the issues with LIBOR involved with these loans, it shouldn't even be there anyway.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, the bankers want to loan you things that they create out of thin air and are fraudulent, and they would just as soon take your property and resell it and make more money. I mean, it's just ugly.
Do you need a lawyer? Does the average person have to have a lawyer in order to file these complaints? Is it something that an average person or above average person can do without an attorney? Do you have to bring an attorney in on this?
No, two things can be an issue there. First of all, we work exclusively with Carlos Kager's company, the financial fraud consultants in Virginia.
Okay.
And we're not the only ones doing this, but there are various approaches to it. That's why if you're talking about law, it's a law practice because, you know, not a cookie cutter thing. But secondly, most lawyers, when they get involved with the Bar Association, that's their little fraternity of which this particular topic is very sensitive to. And we are not earmarking anything to go through a civil court anyway. And if we can have enforcement of what we found only to the point where the FBI investigates and then they determine, yes, you've got a case here, well, you still don't need a lawyer because then they take it to the grand jury and to see if there's a criminal cause for indictment or not. See, so, but everybody in the banking system wants to move it to the left over to the civil side because that's, first of all, where a lawyer can make their money. And secondly, we've heard reports just recently, a lot of lawyers are writing things that the judges just sign and don't even read. And there's a lot of lawyers that get their office paid for very nicely from sources of retainer, you know. And so, Sherry and I recently ran into a group that is organizing about the continental United States. And Carlos and I were talking the other day. The first company, the United States of America, was a corporation. It ran into trouble, but it was never terminated. It was never closed. The bankers came in and started the second one, of which we think is the United States of America today. And it's completely run by the banking system. But the constitutional company is still there. And folks were cautiously moving into a relationship with for information exchange. They're fairly well organized around the country. And so, folks, if you're listening out there, you know, yes, we got very difficult times coming up, but there's a lot of people that are just a silent majority, and they just need more education. And so I'm not throwing in the towel on anything. And I think a whole lot of people should call it Melody and replace the assets that's in the current currency with gold and silver. Because that's what the rich guys are doing, because they know they're going to bring down the system and reboot it. And it can only be rebooted by gold and silver.
I understand. I agree with you on that. There are some people who think there's going to be some sort of a currency reset. Right, they're predicting that. I'm unable to understand how that's possible because all of the currencies are only have value in relation to the other currencies. You can ask how much is what is a dollar worth, and it's worth 0.89 euros. Okay, what's a euro worth? And it's worth something like 4 yuan. Okay, what's the yuan worth? Well, I don't remember, something like 8.18 or 0.16, it's 16% of a dollar. And we have the circular reasoning on this, but without a tangible, objective, central device, there's no way of knowing what we're talking about. It's all just relative. A dollar has value relative to the yuan, which has relative to the pound, which is relative to the euro, which is relative to 180 currencies on the globe. And none of it has meaning, yeah, unless somebody says it's all. How many ounces of gold can you get with a dollar? How many ounces of gold can you get with a yuan? How many ounces? Point. There's got to be something tangible to have an objective measurement. Other than that, it's all just nonsense.
Yeah. It is that simple. And but when all these currencies, which has already begun to have the movement and the shift and the revaluation and the devaluation. See, China devalued because they wanted to export more of their product. So what they made would be cheaper for people to buy, which would increase their productivity. And it's starting a currency war. And it's going to domino through that, and you're seeing the uncertainty move through all the stock markets. And how long can you run an economy with a 0% interest rate?
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's just crazy.
The whole thing is irrational, and it all traces back to having a debt-based monetary system and or a fiat currency. And there is an inherent madness in these concepts that may have sounded seductive and beguiling when they first came out and said, we can have the whole system will be built on debt rather than assets. And some people said, how much money can I make? And I said, lots, you can get rich. But ultimately, it's got to fail. It's got to blow up in everybody's face. And when it does, there's going to be some real trouble. I mean, it's going to make the Great Depression look like a picnic. Big trouble if and when this monetary system goes down, and it has to. It's just a question of time, but how much time? Do you have what do we got left? We've got about a minute and a half left. Do you have a prediction as to when you might see some sort of a serious financial breakdown?
Well, towards the end of the month, it's very unusual and never has occurred that the Pope is going to come and try to make a different statement here in the United States. So I think that's going to be a tip-off point. And that's just a few weeks away. And frankly, things have already started because you can see the market meltdown in the different financial markets. So
Close. We think that this problem may be imminent. All right, and it could be, we're talking maybe weeks or a few months, something like that, but we're not talking 5 years from now.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'll tell you, it could last 5 years, though.
I get that. Let me ask you this. Do you expect a sudden decline, a sudden and dramatic decline, like a bowling ball being dropped from an airplane that just goes, ping, falls 10,000 feet, hits the ground? Or do you expect something that a gradual decline where it drops 100 feet and then it gets caught up in the clouds for a while and drops another 100 feet, gets caught up? What do you think, gradual or incremental?
I think it would be a combination of both because people, particularly in the stock market arena, they can close the market and not open for weeks.
We're going to have to let it go at that, Rob. We're going to have to let it go at that, but give us some contact information. Give folks some information where they can reach you.
Well, we're here in Colorado, and www.rmeadvisors.com is our website, Rocky Mountain Educational Advisors. And I can be texted at 303-472-0531. And this is no time to not take action. It's time to get information and act on it. So,
all right, Rob, we're going to have to let it go on that. We're out of time. And, folks, give Rob West a call or contact him at rmeadvisors.com. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. We're done for the week. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Rob West, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.